Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So nice to be back again this evening. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Thank you, trustees, for that trustee report. A lot of work's been going on. And it's taking a lot of oversight and our trustees have been providing that, and we just thank the Lord for that. There's a whole lot of back and forth, and but as Brother Joel said, no, we didn't light the fire, but we will be better off as a result. So Satan is probably regretting it already, but working on his next tactic. So we thank you for your patience. We know that it's been a trial for all of us. But we're coming through the other side of it, and we're really looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Just have a few scriptures we're going to read tonight, a few quotes, and then we're going to go into communion and foot washing. We don't announce it for a couple reasons. The first reason is every time we announce it, half the church doesn't show up. It's true. You can't make this stuff up. It's true. So just be ready. But secondarily, we have it every other month. So if you're keeping track, January, March, this is May. So it's the first Sunday of the month. So did I say that right? Or yeah. Okay. All right. You're kind of looking at me. Maybe you got to take your shoe off to count. Or I don't know. But anyway. So if you follow that through, you know, we'll have it again in July, September, amen. November, and then January again. So is that clear?
Amen.
Okay. So don't miss now. Now that you know when the communion's going to be. We should always be ready for communion. Every time we come together, we're having communion, having spiritual communion. So we walk with Him. It's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to get the backhoe out and go digging things up. Just, you know, we should be prayed up every day. Praise the Lord. We thank you for the specials and just every part that you're adding to the services. We really, really appreciate it and thank you for it. I want to encourage you to keep doing it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Also, if you wouldn't mind keeping me in prayer. So, I didn't tell you this morning, but as JJ and I were traveling, you know, this is your quote-unquote time off, and you're going to go hunting. I got sick. You know, you're not supposed to get sick after you were just sick a couple of weeks prior, but I got really sick. My stomach was so upset and to the point that I was having trouble sleeping, and I don't know if it was something I ate or if it was a virus, but because it feels the same. But so about, you know, a day before we turned around and came back, I started feeling good. So, and then I got home and realized that, we crawled, right, to sneak up on these turkeys. And so you might wonder who the real turkey is. So that we could surprise them and what have you. And in the process, I contacted Poison Ivy. So, and I'm really, really, really allergic to that and poison oak. And growing up in the Midwest, I learned to identify those plants very, very carefully. But it seemed like I would avoid them and I'd still end up getting it. And so, you know, what we learned was as soon as you get home from whatever you're doing, the plant has an oil that gets on your skin and water doesn't take it off. But if you get home and you take a cold shower, not a hot one, which is what we did, of course, and it's what you always want to do, take a cold shower so that you're not opening up your pores, and then use soap and scrub your whole body and take your clothes and, you know, get them laundered right away. There's a good chance that you'll either get a light case or you won't get it at all, because it's the oil that spreads and you scratch it and now it's on your hand, then you rub your eye and now you got a eye like that. And I used to get it so bad it would just, I'd swell up and kind of look like Frankenstein. And so we are spoiled here in Arizona. Those plants do exist, but they're like at the tops of the mountains, and we don't come in contact with those things very rarely. So we are so spoiled here that I forgot about it, and we're belly crawling. And anyway, I got a case of it, so just pray that it'll go quick, because you just want to cut off whatever part of the body that is itching so bad. You're thinking, man, I'd rather. You really wouldn't want to live without it, but you feel like it. Praise the Lord. Sister Cornelia, so what is the name of the sister that's... Anna. Sister Anna. So was there a prayer request turned in for that?
It was, but I don't know. Tomorrow I will call again. Too much for her.
Yes.
And she's been praying for me for the last 2 weeks.
She's still in a coma. Okay, so... Okay, so if you don't know Sister Anna, so Sister Cornelia has been bringing her to service, and she's just been eating it up. And the Lord has really been blessing her, and she's back in Romania now, and she's in a coma. She's part of this body, so... Amen. Let's bring her before the throne, and let's believe for her, and amen. Are you happy? Sure beats the alternative. You know, there's something else I was going to share with you that if I can find it here real quick. Oh my, where did I put it? Excuse me for just a moment. This, as long as Siri doesn't interfere... where? Can't believe she's talking to me now. So, a brother shared this with me last week, and I thought it was pretty outstanding. We've shared it with some, but I just wanted to share it with everybody. It says, if you rearrange the letters in depression, so here's the word depression. If you rearrange the letters, you'll get I pressed on. Depression, I pressed on, meaning your current situation is not your final destination. It's only for a season. These things do not last, and they're not real, but they feel real in every sense. But they're not eternal, so they can't be real. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for better, for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. He says, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, Jesus is speaking symbolically and parabolically in this. It's not literally his body, as the Catholics teach. The Catholics have a priest that prays over the bread and prays over the wine, and a miracle takes place every time they pray over it. And it's called the miracle of transubstantiation. It's a miracle to just remember how to say that. They believe that when the priest prays over it, it literally becomes the body and the blood of Christ. And so they guard it from that point on. It's sacred from that point on because it's literally the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's literally nonsense. It's symbolic. It's representative. If it was literally, then why didn't Jesus take from his body? Instead, they took bread and they took wine. And there were no bite marks on his body. And he wasn't missing any blood. You understand? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So partaking of it unworthily means that there's sin in your life, there's unconfessed sin, there's things that are not made right, and you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. And what you're saying is it all is well and everything's fine, and your communion, your relationship between you and the Lord is as it should be. But if it isn't, then you're partaking of it unworthily. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Notice it says, let a man examine himself. It doesn't say, let the church examine one another. You know, but if you're walking with the Lord, this isn't, his spirit, there's no way you can walk with him if things aren't right in your life. So if things are right in your life and you have a daily walk with him, it's a quick thing to make sure that you're not partaking of it unworthily. I mean, think about it. If you're in a close relationship with your husband or your wife or your mother or your father, you know if there's something between you or not. Or a friend, same thing's true. It shouldn't be a mystery. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So churches, friends, we know sickness will come. It's just, and sickness coming does not mean you sinned or somebody else sinned or mom and dad sinned, right? But sickness can come because there's sin in the church, and we're partaking of communion unworthily. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So some actually go home to be with the Lord because the body wasn't discerned. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That means pray for one another and make things right. If you know that somebody has an issue with you, it's not a matter of whether you have an issue with them. But if you know that somebody has an issue with you, you want to do whatever you can to, you don't want to be their hang up. Amen. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. Of course, we all understand this. We don't have the issue that the Corinthian church had where they were, having these big meals and people that were poor couldn't afford it, and people that were rich were doing it, and they were missing the whole point of it. We don't have that issue. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. So I don't think anybody's tried to make a meal out of communion. If they have, I missed it. It's kind of hard to make a meal of that little piece of bread and a little cup of wine. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So this is the word of the Lord through our brother Paul, and so that is what we're endeavoring to do tonight in our communion service. And then we want to refer once again to John, the 13th chapter, starting with the first verse. And this is the writing that John had of what took place with our Lord Jesus. He said, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of the world, out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never. Peter was just so gung-ho. And he this sounded so good to himself. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, Okay, suit yourself. If I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Oh, Peter didn't want that. Simon Peter saith unto him, so he goes from one extreme to the other. You're not going to wash my feet. The Lord says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not clean. So the foot washing, it represents our walk. It represents, you know, we're out rubbing shoulders with the world, and we need a washing. Every time we come together, we're washed by the water of the Word. But we don't need to be washed all over, because we've already been sanctified by the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, He, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know, there are places that I have traveled to. I'll just tell you one place in particular. In South Africa, the first time I went there was in 1995, and we visited, one of the churches that we visited was Pastor Harold Beckett's church in Cape Town, South Africa. The pastor picked us up, brought us to his home, and the very first thing that he and his wife did when we arrived was wash our feet. That's embarrassing. That's humbling. You know, especially when you feel like the person that's washing your feet is greater than you. It's a real service, and it's humbling. I notice that some people will do communion, but they skip out on the foot washing part. There are things that we've been told to do in the Scriptures. Amen. We've been told to have communion. We've been told to practice foot washing. We've been told to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're told to do it, we should do it. You say, well, it's embarrassing to me. Well, join the crowd. We need to be embarrassed and humbled, right? Well, my socks have holes in them. Well, then they're holy. They're your communion socks. I thought about skipping out because I got poison ivy. I'm not going to skip out. I'll just use one hand. Don't worry, you won't get it. How many knows what that is anyway? How many knows what poison ivy is? You either do or you don't. If you do, you know what it is. What a hateful thing. We can't wait for the millennium. There won't be any poison ivy, leeches, ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, bed bugs. What else?
Spiders.
Cockroaches. I'm more concerned about the things that bite me and make me itch. And scorpions.
Tapeworms.
Yeah, I mean, all these things are just trying to live off of your life. And they don't care if they kill you. Then just move on. We don't have to put up with that any longer. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just are so thankful for this opportunity again tonight, Lord, to be obedient and to have communion together, Lord, in symbol form, knowing, Lord, that it represents the true communion that we have with you and with the body of believers, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you'd search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything that comes to our remembrance that we need to make right, Lord, give us the grace to make it right. And Lord, also, by the same token, if all is well, may we come forth boldly, not fearfully, Lord, because if we do things doubtfully or fearfully, then it's sin. We can do something doubtfully and fearfully, and yet there's absolutely nothing wrong and no reason why we can't do it, but if we're doing it doubtfully, Lord, then it becomes sin. So we want to have confidence and a great rest, Lord, that when we're doing things according to your word, that all is well. We're resting in you and we're trusting in you, Lord. So may each and every one of us, Lord, may our hearts be searched here tonight. And Lord, may we, Lord, just forgive us, we pray, for our slowness of heart, Lord, our sins, our backslidings. And Lord, we think in our minds, well, Christians don't backslide. But Lord, your prophet told us that he backslid every day. In other words, there were things that he didn't go out and get drunk or smoke a cigarette, but there are ways that we kind of let up. There are ways that we kind of get lax. We don't press like maybe we should, or we allow our flesh to get out from under us. And Lord, we don't want to be that way. We want to bring things under us, and we want the Word of God to have the full preeminence in our lives. And we know that it's a sacrifice, and that it's a press, and that it's a battle. It's a daily battle. It's a continuous battle, Lord, to keep our flesh under us. But Lord, we know that it's possible, because you wouldn't admonish us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and except it were possible to do that. So, Lord, as we press, Lord, we don't want bad things to have to happen to us for us to get serious and for us to press. And we know that if we're your child, and we won't do it, Lord, as we should, we don't do it willfully, that things will happen to us. But Lord, we just want to be obedient. We want to do things willfully, Lord. We want to make the sacrifice to die out to ourselves each and every day. But Lord, the times that things get out from under us, Lord, the times that we say things that we want to take back as soon as it came out of our mouths, or do things that we regret, Lord, may we just be quick to repent. We ask you tonight, Lord, to forgive us if there's any of these things that we haven't asked for forgiveness for. We ask humbly, Lord, tonight that you'd forgive us. And Lord, that all would be well between our brothers and our sisters, Lord, that not just in some kind of a superficial way, Lord, but but in a genuine way, in a transparent way, Lord. We certainly have different likes and dislikes, and our flesh certainly has things that our flesh likes better than others, and we're not talking about those things tonight, Lord, but we're talking about what we have in common tonight, Lord, which is we have the same Father. Lord, we come from the same source. We believe the same word. We're part of the same family. And Lord, as even in the natural, we look into our natural family, and there's such a variety. None of us are clones of one another. Even if we're twins, there's still differences between us. And Lord, the same thing is true in the spiritual body of Christ. We know that there will always be differences between us, but Lord, we overlook those things, and Lord, we try to keep the bonds of love fresh amongst us. So Lord, I pray that you'd move on each and every heart here tonight, mine included, Lord, and may we be able to come forward tonight knowing all is well. And Lord, by the same token, we've read where sickness comes into the body, and some go to sleep, and different things take place because the body's not discerned. We know that the other side of it is true also, that when all is well, that there's healing in the cup. Lord, just the act of partaking of communion one with another, and ministering to one another, tearing for one another, washing one another's feet, Lord. We know that, Lord, that it brings healing, that it brings encouragement, that it lifts us up, Lord, that it brings good things into the body. So, Lord, that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're in expectation of tonight. Lord, be with us tonight also as we go to wash one another's feet. And, Lord, may we look upon that brother or that sister, Lord, the one that is going to wash our feet, and vice versa. And Lord, may we see the Christ in our brother or our sister. May we enter in, Lord, to their suffering, and may we rejoice with them where they rejoice, Lord. May we pray with them, Lord, where they're burdened. And Father, may we just pull together one another, Lord, and pull on Christ that's in this local body. Grant these things tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I just want to read a few statements from the message regarding communion. It's certainly not all the statements in the message, but just a few highlights here tonight. Brother Bram says, you notice Paul here, those Corinthians, they didn't get it. They went up there and even got drunk at the Lord's table. And they eat and drink and done everything wrong. And Paul said, when you come together, if a man's hungry, let him eat at home. But when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, wait on one another. You say, well, now here's a brother that I don't think ought to take the communion. Well, don't run up there and jerk him out. Have patience with him. After the service is over, and a time when you come over to his house some night and sit down and say, brother, now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I seen you down the other day on the street, drunk, whatever he was doing, out with some other lady that wasn't your wife, and you're taking communion. I love you, brother. Let's you and I pray over this thing and straighten it up. See, wait on one another. Do service for one another. Don't be bigger than somebody else. Try and see how little you can be. I've often heard say, don't never be big in your own sight. If you're big, let it be in God's sight. Be little in your own sight. Every man that humbles himself, God will exalt. But those who exalt himself, God will bring abase. See, be little. We know our Lord certainly set that example. You know, that's a wonderful thing about this, is that we have examples for all of these things. It's not theoretical, but somebody... big people have lived this by making themselves little. And we look upon them. I mean, our Lord Jesus is great. We look at Paul. We say, our brother Paul is great. We look at all the sacrifices he made and all that he did. And yet, Paul made himself little. Brother Branham made himself little. Those that knew him personally, those that had experiences with him, their testimony almost always is that he always made you feel like the bigger person, whatever the situation was. So there's many, many examples of it. So really, we're without excuse, right? Because we have these examples, right? Now, that's one thing that if you've grew up in this message, maybe you don't have this perspective, but those of us that didn't grow up in the message, we didn't have the right kind of examples. So you couldn't really blame us for not living out certain things in a scriptural way because we didn't have example of it, right? But once we did have the example, we're without excuse. No matter how we were raised, no matter what we were taught, once you know better, you know better. Now we're accountable. And again, from possessing all things. Is your sins under the blood by faith tonight in Christ Jesus? We shall now take the communion. Not the communion you commune as you eat with one another. Just commune with God. The communion is not the bread. It's not the wine. The communion is talking back and forth with God. And this is a symbol that we take, that we believe in his death, his broken body, his burial, his resurrection. We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that he has given us eternal life and we cannot die. We have passed from death unto life. And someday, when we separate from one another here, we'll rise again in the resurrection with each other, joined together with Christ Jesus as a body. Amen. Upon these bases, in the confession of my sins and my faith in the Son of God, I take myself and the church before these articles that God left for us to do, to show forth his death until he comes. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat and do this in remembrance of me." Our Heavenly Father, after we have confessed our sins, hearing your word, after we have confessed that we are unworthy, we are trusting only in the merits of the Son of God, we're unworthy creatures. Forgive us, Lord, of all that we have did. And now by faith, we come to the table of the Lord. And now as this bread is presented to represent the body of our Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll sanctify it to its intended purpose. And may every person that partakes of this have eternal life in their soul. And may that every person takes it have healing in their body and live the appointed time that you've given them. And may they serve you all the days of their life. And be raised up in the last day in the resurrection to be gathered together with the tribes of the earth that are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Bible said also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament. As oft as you drink this, you show forth the Lord's death till he come." Heavenly Father, we hold to you the fruit of the vine tonight, this wine. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll sanctify this wine. It represents the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. Through this blood, we have remission of our sins by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Forgive us of all of our unbelief, Lord. And give us faith and understanding and make us your servants, Lord, that we can serve you all of our days. Be with us, Father, as we join together around this table. And bless us in this time of fine fellowship and communion with you. And may you speak to our hearts and point to us our work that we should do. Grant it, Lord, sanctify this wine for its intended purpose. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I might also add, I meant to mention earlier, another way that you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily is if you're not a Christian. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, if you haven't been, if you're not saved, you shouldn't partake of communion, right? Because you're not worthy of it. He makes you worthy. And again, in the message, ordination, Brother Branham said, "And we believe that when we come together," he said, "tarry one for another." In other words, wait on one another. The word tarry means to wait on one another. Now, as has been accustomed to us. We take the scripture in this way, that when we do this, we just bow our heads and the congregation prays for we pastors. Notice that. Congregation prays for the pastors. And we pastors, we pray for our congregation. And that's how we wait on each other, by serving each other, by praying. You pray, God forgive my pastor. Wow. Do I got to pray that, Brother Henry? I don't have a problem praying that. God forgive my pastor. Because he's my pastor. But can you pray that? I got two amens. Okay. All right. Just checking. You pray, God forgive my pastor. If there's anything in his life that they have done, you forgive them for it. Forgive them. They didn't mean to do it. And we come right back. We come right back. The pastors. Praying for our congregation. God, this is the little flock that you give us to watch over. If there's anything wrong in their life, take it away, Father. That is our prayer. So that we can all stand together around and fellowship around, knowing that we're coming here keeping the order of God and taking the communion. I think it's a sweet time of fellowship. Let us pray now as we bow our heads silently. You pray for us and we'll pray for you. Brother Bram softly whispers a prayer for 40 seconds. Wow, they really timed that? For 40 seconds, as the congregation silently prays. Father, as we take this communion, as we call it communion, it is in remembrance of you. And when this little beaten wafer touches our tongues and goes into our mouth, may we recognize that he was bruised and mashed and torn for our sins, and that the veil that hid him from us, now he's in us, the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the wine, may we realize that it was by his stripes that we are healed, by his blood that we are saved, the life that was in the blood. Now, Father, give us together for this solemn occasion, forgiving our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Simple, isn't it? And again, from the Message Communion, 1965, December 12th. It's one of the last messages that we have here in Tucson, Arizona. Brother Bram said, when we come to the Lord's table, we must come in reverence, love, and respect. Of look where we would have been if it hadn't been for him. Amen. Not look at how good I am, but Lord, thank you, for without you, where would I be? Except the grace of God. That would be me out there. See, look where it would have. Therefore, Paul, I think, in saying this, wherefore, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That is, other words, just wait a few minutes, pray, check yourself out. And if you know a brother is in there, just about to do something that's wrong or something, and you pray for him too. See, tarry one the other. Wait just a minute and pray. If there's any feelings between you of something, go make that right first, see? Go straighten that up first, because they want to come here just as pure as we can be, and our thoughts of one another and God and to each other. And then when we come in fellowship around the table of the Lord, see? And we do this because we're giving thanks to him and among one another, eating the bread between each other, drinking the wine between each other as his blood and his flesh. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. See? You see, that's what the Bible said. Except you do it, there's no life. You see? You are then, more or less, showing you are ashamed to identify yourself as a Christian because of the life that you live. And then, this is really the showdown. Then if you don't do it, you have no life. If you do it unworthily, you're guilty of the body of the Lord. So there's only one way to do it, and it's to live the right kind of a life. Same thing in water baptism. If we say we believe on Jesus Christ, that he saved us from sin, and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, why? We bring disgrace to him. When we do things that's wrong, we'll have to pay for that. And another thing, when we do that, we're trying to profess one thing and do another. He says, that's the trouble of us today. I'm saying us, me, and the church that the Lord God has let me speak to in these last hours, that we believe that we're in a closing time. We believe that God has given us a message. It's been ordained of God. It's been proven of God. It's been showed of God. Now we must come to Him with reverence, with love, with purity of heart and mind and soul. You know, the hour will soon arise when right among us, the Holy Spirit will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. I believe we're real close to that. You know, we can get up and lie, and you're lying to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is living in this body. That's why we ought to be prayed up before we come to church. We don't want to hinder anything. The Holy Spirit will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, see, that hour is arriving. Now you just remember that, see, that God is going to dwell among His people. He can't do that if there's sin in the body. And if sin isn't dealt with, you can live so close to God that you're ready to be taken off the earth. But if the rest of the body isn't living that way, then when we come together, you won't benefit. Right? So do it for one another. Do it for the body's sake. You just remember that, see, that God is going to dwell among His people. That's what He wants to do now. We can receive the message as saying, well, if I was a young man and hunting for a wife and I could find a wife, I'd say, she's just perfect. She's a Christian. She's a lady. She's all this. I got confidence. He says, no matter how much confidence, how much I think that she's nice, I've got to receive her. She's got to receive me, see, upon these vows. Well, it's the same thing that we find in the message. We see that it's right. We see God vindicates that it's right. It's perfectly right. Year after year, year after year, it continues right. It continues right. Everything it says happens just exactly the way that He said. He says, now, we know that it's right, but see, don't do it from an intellectual standpoint. If you do, you got a second-handed religion. We don't want a second-handed religion, something that somebody else has experienced it, and we're living off of their testimony. You know what that is? That's a scorpion. That's a leech. That's a mosquito. That's something trying to live off of your experience. That's something trying to live off of your life. We don't want to be that way with the body. We don't want to try to live off of somebody else's testimony, somebody else's experience. We want to have our own experience, our own testimony. Amen. You love Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand. Actually, I want you to go to somebody that's not in the row behind you. Some of you do that anyway. Go to somebody that maybe they're on the other side of the church. It's not personal. But you don't go to that person because they're not right next to you. Right? Go somewhere else and tell somebody, I want God's very best for you. I want the very best that God has for you. Amen. God's very best for you. Amen. You too. Love you. Brother Dutch said you're going to lose, the church can all go different directions. Bless you. I want to share one more thing with you. Confession's good for the soul. So we had a game warden show up. You know, most of the time, I have nothing to worry about. And when I see a police officer driving by in their car, I don't slam on the brakes like most people do when they're not even speeding. But they do that because they're guilty. It drives me crazy, you know. We're driving up towards Denver, and we kept hitting these patches where everybody slows down, and it's because there's a policeman on the side. It's like, well, you're not breaking the law. What are you worried about? So I really wasn't worried about this game warden, because as far as I was concerned, I was doing things properly. But the problem was I was relying on what somebody else told me was the regulations versus checking it myself. And so there's a good lesson there. This has nothing to do with the person that I was relying on. But what it means is that you're accountable. And the game warden, you know, ignorance is no excuse. You're supposed to know what's in the regulations. Well, I believe they've changed some of the rules since I read the regulations about 4 years ago. And so I'm thinking, okay, I know it, but they've made some changes. So I had taken a turkey, and I was told by somebody who was an authority on it, won't tell you who it is, I was told that you're supposed to, so a turkey has a beard, and we're only allowed to take a male, not a female, not a hen. So the male has a beard, and you're supposed to cut off the beard and keep that as evidence. But believe it or not, once in a while a hen can grow a beard too. You know, I say put her in the circus, you know. The bearded hen. So you're allowed to take a bearded hen, who's kind of a strange part of nature, but you have to provide other evidence that. So you're supposed to keep the beard, and you're supposed to keep the breast meat, the leg and thigh meat, and then the actual legs with the talons and the spurs that are coming off of it. Well, what we were keeping was the breast meat and the beard. That was it. And I was told that the leg meat and the thigh meat's no good, and so that's why you don't keep that. And I was never told that you needed to keep the legs. Neither does it even make sense to me. It's like if you got a beard, you know, unless it's a bearded lady, isn't that proof enough? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I got a fine. I got written up, and I have to pay a fine because I didn't keep those other parts. So we made sure. So this other person told me, you know, you just throw away the leg meat right away and the thigh meat and whatever because it's no good, but you got to keep it because of what they said. And I thought, well, if I'm supposed to keep it, then I'm going to try it, right? So we brought it home, and Sister Baker, bless her heart, she went through all those turkeys and got everything prepared, and then she looked up how to prepare the leg and thigh meat, and the issue with it is that it's tough, but there's ways to deal with that. So she found a recipe where you take the leg and thigh meat, you wrap it in foil, you season it and wrap it tightly in foil, and that's it. Then you put it in a crock pot, no water, and you cook it for 10 hours at low heat. So she did that, and we had turkey enchiladas today. Yummy. I want God's very best for you. don't throw that away. It's good stuff. I was wondering how, you know, why would it taste bad? Because, you know, the breast meat is really, really good. It's much better than whatever this stuff is that they sell that they call turkey. It doesn't taste anything like a wild turkey. It's really, really good. So the leg and the thigh meat is also very good. So anyway, you know, I realize that I'm responsible for what's right and what's wrong. No matter what anybody else says, no matter how much a friend I am with other people, I still have to do what's right. And I want to do what's right. And I'm here to tell you tonight, don't throw away the leg and the thigh. If you do, first of all, it's a lot of meat. Second of all, it's good. Maybe we'll have some at the harvest party, but we'll have to make sure that we don't tell you what it is. Because if we label it, it'll sit there. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if the brothers want to come and help us here tonight, just maybe move the... Let's bow our heads. Father, as we approach the table tonight, Lord, as we've read your word concerning the ordinance of communion, Lord, and of foot washing, and Lord, we want all to be well, and Lord, we've asked that, Lord, that you would forgive us and search our hearts, Lord, and that everything would be well, that we'd be able to come and partake of it as you intended, Lord. And Father, if there's any sickness in the body tonight, we pray, Lord, that the sickness would be taken away. Lord, if there's any heaviness, that it would be lifted, Lord. There's nothing, it's not wrong for a person to experience heaviness or what we call depression, Lord, but we know there's a cure tonight. And we know that, Lord, that we all have a punch coming, and some of us are more susceptible to some things than others. And Lord, for some of us, maybe our constitution is weak, and Lord, we find ourselves prone to sickness, but there's healing in the cup tonight. Lord, that we find ourselves maybe a little on the moody side, but there's healing, there's encouragement in the cup tonight. Or Lord, maybe we find ourselves suffering from fears. Well, there's peace in the cup tonight. Lord, there's rest in the cup tonight. There's confidence, Lord. Maybe over the type that we're prone to anxiousness, Lord. Well, there's a real rest tonight that you have for, that's a cure for that, Lord. So everything that we have need of, we look to you tonight, Lord. And as we are obedient, Lord, and partaking of these symbols, Lord. Father, first of all, we ask that you would bless the bread, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it. And Lord, we've prepared it according to your intentions, Lord, according to your word. And not mixed it with things. We've not tried to add things to it to try to make it more palatable. But Lord, we just try to keep it where we're partaking of the grain that's been ground up and mixed with water, and no leavening added, Lord. And it's been baked into a bread, and which is a type of the unleavened Word of God, the Word of God that's not mixed with anything else, but it's in its pure form. It might be more humble, it might be less attractive, Lord, than other things that we could partake of, but Lord, there's life in it tonight. We believe that. So Lord, we ask that you'd bless it to our bodies tonight. And Lord, the wine, as we partake of it, we know that it represents the life that was in the blood cell. That when the blood was shed, Lord, and that blood cell was burst apart, there's life in there that comes back upon the believer. And Lord, that life is keeps us pure in your sight, Lord, keeps us holy in your sight, allows us to walk in your ways, to do your will. And Lord, it gives us life such that when this body goes down in the grave, we continue on, Lord. And that life is waiting to pick up a body when the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ are raised again from the graves. So Lord, we ask that you'd bless that fruit of the vine, bless the wine tonight, Lord. And we believe that we don't partake of a grape juice, but Lord, it's the fermented fruit of the vine. It's a fermented grape juice, Lord, which is a type of something that has life in it, Lord. It stimulates, Lord, a type of the stimulation that comes when the revelation of the Word breaks upon us. So, Lord, we ask that you'd bless that also for the goodness of our bodies. And Lord, may every bit of sin be forgiven, Lord. May everything be well with our souls, Lord, as we partake of it. May we partake of it with confidence and with great boldness, not arrogance, but confidence and boldness in you. We ask these things tonight, Lord, with blessed assurance. And we thank you and we love you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank